Hey, what's up, guys? Hopefully you can hear me, and so let me know. Make sure that my mic is on and everything. It's about 3:30 in the morning here in Atlanta, you know, Eastern time zone here in the USA. And I was just up. I'm going to go to feed the baby. So I'm awake and I'm kind of wired right now. So I figured I would, I'm tired, but I'm awake. So I figured I'd get in here and talk real quick. Just give some quick thoughts on the fight tonight between Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. Of course, we'll talk more about this like in detail, you know, on my podcast the next time I do TNC, but I just want to give some initial thoughts. So this fight, so look, I have to say, if you listen to TNC, you guys have heard me say it multiple times in the lead up to this fight, that despite all the trolling and all the weird stuff from Ryan Garcia online, I expected a completely healthy, best version of him in this fight. And that's what we saw. So I give myself some credit there. But of course, I picked Devin Haney by points, like most people did. I thought Devin Haney would win a decision. I thought even if it was a close fight, Devin Haney would get the decision because he gets the decisions. Now, the fact that they moved it from Vegas to Brooklyn, I think was a really smart move for Golden Boy and Ryan Garcia. I think if this fight was in Las Vegas tonight, I think Devin Haney would have won the fight by unanimous decision. Vegas would have, or maybe like mixed decision or majority decision, whatever, split decision, he would have got the win because that's how Vegas works. And he's part of that establishment there. So it's very, very smart positioning and managerial movement there from Golden Boy taking the fight out to Brooklyn, where maybe it doesn't do, obviously it's not going to do the same numbers in terms of revenue and stuff like that. And you have to deal with all the New York taxes and crap, but your guy gets the decision. This fight, I would describe this fight as neither guy doing a whole heck of a lot. Ryan Garcia didn't do much, but Devin Haney did even less. Okay. I'll show you guys CompuBox punch numbers here in a second. They sent them off and I'll show you. Neither one of these guys threw anywhere near 300 punches. Okay. These guys are welterweights. That means they're not even throwing 25 punches around. They're throwing about 20 punches around. Devin Haney didn't even throw 20 punches around. It's really, really difficult in professional boxing to win a fight when you're throwing that infrequently, when you're throwing 20 maybe punches around, unless you're a heavyweight. But in those lower weight classes, if you're throwing 20 punches around, and there's zero power, and then you're getting dropped five or six times, you're not going to win that fight. I should say, referee Harvey Dock, who is one of my favorite refs, and I think he normally does a great, great job. He had a bad night. He did not have a good performance tonight. I'm not sure what was going on there, but he missed several knockdowns. They credited Garcia with three. There was at least four or five legit knockdowns in that fight. And then he took a point at one. I don't know what was going on there. Regardless of all that, one guy didn't do much. The other guy did even less. And the guy who did just a little bit more, and that's Ryan Garcia, his punches had significantly more impact. He broke Devin Haney's jaw, apparently. That's what I'm seeing, the reports. That's preliminary. I haven't seen it confirmed, but that's the rumor, apparently, is that he broke his jaw. He beat him up, and he didn't throw a lot of punches. He didn't need to. So I got to call this out, too. I've seen several media members, A-lister media members, post scorecards tonight giving this fight to Devin Haney and giving it to him by multiple points. I have no idea what fight these people were watching. If you want to give it to Haney in rounds, I still think you're being way too generous to his style, but that's fine. But even if you gave it, let's say 7-5 Haney in terms of rounds, which again, I don't necessarily agree with, but let's just, or you know what? I got to say this. Ryan Garcia didn't do a lot in the first half of the fight. It was more the second half of the fight where I thought he really controlled it. So if you gave Haney the majority of the first half of the fight, okay, fine. So if you gave Haney 7-8 rounds, I got you. But with all the knockdowns and everything else, this was clearly a win for Ryan Garcia. And the guys that scored this for Haney, who are A-lister media guy, including the guy who's the top media guy in America now. You guys need to stop scoring fights and stick to your sources. Just some unsolicited advice from me. Stick to your sources and your breaking and your reporting and that stuff. Don't break down or analyze fights. Nobody trusts your judgment to do that anyway. Nobody's basing their betting, their gambling on your assessment of a fight or your analyzing or breaking it down, any of that. Judging a fight, just stop. Just stop. All right. Super chat from Trent Nonpareil. Thank you so much, Trent. He said, you called it. Just like you said, he was ready and fooled everyone with his weirdness, took edge away from Conte's snack. You mean, and Conte's with an E, but I know you're talking about Haney with the 3 pounds at the scale. Yeah, good stuff, Trent. That's a good segue. Let's get into that. Weight gate, because much will be made of the weight. And Haney's decision to go forward with this fight. So let's talk about this real quick. Devin Haney made weight for this fight, and it wasn't easy. I've been telling you guys for years that kid's a welterweight. He was a welterweight who did whatever he had to do. I'll just leave it at there to make 135. Okay. And he's doing the same at 140. He's killing himself. So he made weight. Okay. Ryan Garcia didn't. Now, there are people out there saying, well, Ryan Garcia tried to make weight. He can't make 140 anymore. And after the fight, Ryan Garcia said he's moving up to welterweight. He can't make 140. Well, you didn't tell Devin Haney and his people that. Because if you feel that way today, you obviously felt that way a week or so ago, you know, when you knew you weren't going to make weight. I think Ryan Garcia, I have no basis, you know, no like evidence to prove this. Okay. This is just my personal feelings on it. Having been around in this game and knowing how these things work, I think him and his team said, let's come in a little heavy. Let's not even try to kill ourselves and make 140. Let's come in a few pounds heavy and we'll just pay some money to him. We'll pay Haney some money and we'll come in nice and strong and beefy and we'll use the power. I think that was their strategy. If you look at the way everything played out during fight week, and then of course all the trolling, that's another thing, but the way it all played out with, you know, the weigh-in and all that, and the bet that they just happened to make, right? I mean, Ryan Garcia knew he wasn't going to make weight when they made that bet. He knew, right? It was all, in my opinion, orchestrated. Now Devin Haney, when Ryan Garcia didn't make weight, it was within Devin Haney's right to say, all right, no fight. I'm walking away. No fight. Because he's gotten an advantage over me. I killed myself to make weight. He's strong. He didn't kill himself to make weight. So it's an unfair advantage. I'm not going through with this fight. And I remember, was it the third? I think there was supposed to be a third. No. I think it was the rematch between Castillo and Corrales. Do you guys remember that? I think it was the rematch where Castillo came in significantly heavy, didn't even try to make weight. And Diego Corrales decided to go through with the fight and he was brutally knocked out. So we've seen countless examples of this, but there are people that are going to game the system with the weight. And it's up to you as a fighter to make that decision. Do I go through with this fight? Now think, you know, that's a tough spot for Devin Haney, because it's like, if he would have said no and walked away, there'd be a bunch of backlash on social media. What, you won't fight this crazy guy? He's a lunatic. Look at him. He's insane. Who cares what he weighs? He's nobody. You'll knock him out in 3 rounds, right? He gets so much backlash on social media. But not only that, him and his team don't get paid. the undercard fighters don't get paid, and everyone's worked their ass off for months to get there. So you got all that on you, and it's difficult in that position to be like, yeah, I'm walking away. Right. We saw in a few weeks back, what Tim Tszyu made a decision to go through with a last minute opponent, and he could have walked in that situation as well. But he went through with it and it didn't work out for him. And here we see another situation where Devin Haney went forward with a fight that didn't need to happen. And it didn't work out for him. Now, I do think the weight played a significant role in this fight. I do. But I also think Ryan Garcia is just faster and more athletic than Devin Haney. I know. On paper, most Americans look at this and they have training that makes them think that's impossible. It's true. By the way, so was Lomachenko. The difference, and look, I know a lot of you out there thought Lomachenko beat Haney. There's a lot of you who thought Haney beat Lomachenko. Okay. It's like 50-50. The fact that that fight was that close, and Devin Haney is a welterweight in his physical prime, and Lomachenko is past his physical prime, and he's a featherweight. The fact that that fight was that close, okay? Now move up the weight scale, and you're fighting a much bigger, stronger, more explosive guy in Ryan Garcia than Lomachenko. Lomachenko, obviously more skilled. But if Loma is able to land punches that wobbled and bothered Haney at times, right? Loma was able to do that. He's a featherweight. What do you think Ryan Garcia is going to do, especially Ryan Garcia not cutting weight, not killing himself to make weight? Yeah, those punches are going to hurt. Let me pull up CompuBox real quick, guys. So, again, CompuBox, it's not the end of all be all. I understand. You don't have to tell me punch stats. Look, they do give an indication into what you saw. It's worth looking at. Okay. They are. I'm a believer in looking at punch stats. I don't score fights by them or anything like that, but you should take a look. CompuBox credited Devin Haney with throwing 214 punches in a 12 round fight. So I think that's 18 punches a round. In fact, yeah, they say down there he landed 7 of 18 punches around when he normally throws about 42 punches around. So his output was less than half of what it normally is. And Ryan Garcia's connect percentage on Haney was significantly higher than most of Haney's opponents. So, yes, did Ryan Garcia land a lot of punches? Did he throw a lot? No, he threw 285. So he didn't even throw 25 punches around himself. But again, this is a case where Ryan Garcia didn't necessarily do a whole heck of a lot, but Devin Haney did even less. And on top of that, there was zero power from Haney's punches. I think Haney landed a good hook, maybe like in the third round or something. It was earlier in the fight, and Ryan Garcia walked right through it. It was just like, whoa. When Gervonta Davis landed that punch, it had a different impact. Now, Ryan Garcia wasn't healthy for that fight, so we'll talk about that later. But when you saw that, it was like, Ryan Garcia doesn't have anything to worry about. He could just walk right in and just look for a hard counter. Bam, bam. And he's the faster guy. He's the twitchier, faster, more athletic, more explosive, more powerful guy. And his punches had more impact. He did more damage. So I'll say this. Ryan Garcia winning this fight was a shot in the arm for American boxing. Now, as insane as Ryan Garcia is, and I've told you guys before, he's a strange guy. He's just kind of a weird guy, okay? He's not crazy. He's just a little weird. He's extremely popular. He's the most popular young American fighter. They call Gervonta Davis the face of American boxing. That's fine. But Ryan Garcia is significantly more popular. He just is. That's not a knock on anybody. He's the guy. He's the most popular fighter. So him winning tonight and winning the way he did it was it was a shot in the arm for American boxing. The establishment's happy tonight. Even though Devin Haney's the establishment fighter. He's tied into that network in Vegas and all that, in the old school boxing establishment. Ryan Garcia, commercially, he brings the dollars, right? And now you have a potential rematch between him and Gervonta Davis at like 140, maybe a catch weight of 143. I don't see Gervonta Davis taking that fight at all, but it would do massive numbers. I mean, it would. It would probably do 2 million plus buys at this point. I mean that. I really mean that. If they built it up the right way. So it's a good thing for boxing, you know, it's quote unquote good for boxing that Ryan Garcia won tonight, because when a really popular star wins on a big stage, it's good for the sport's economic viability, right? So there's that. Let's talk about Devin Haney real quick. His brand does take a hit tonight. I mean, the optics of this with Ryan Garcia being, like, for casual fans, okay? For diehard fans, you guys understand the nuances and stuff, but for casual fans, they see Ryan Garcia being all pretty and stuff and all crazy acting on social media, posting all kinds of weird stuff. And is he mentally fit? And then he goes in there and whoops Devin Haney's ass. Like, that, the optics of that are bad for Devin Haney, right? But then also, without any titles, right? You know what? I was just going to say he doesn't have titles, but I think he retains his title because Garcia didn't make weight, which is strange. I don't know if you can retain a title if you lose a fight. I can't remember how all that works. The WBC will find a way to hook him up. Or one of them will. But he is the type of fighter that doesn't sell very well. Nobody wants to watch Devin Haney fight. He doesn't sell tickets. He doesn't, you know, sell pay-per-view. And his style is really, really bad for TV. And so he's going to struggle now getting another big fight. But again, he is part of that establishment, and he'll be all right. He'll find a big fight down the line, or at least a fight for a title or a piece of a title, and he'll be all right. But his style got a little bit exposed in this fight. And, you know, look, it did it against Lomachenko and some other fighters, but only partially, right? Tonight is when there's the wheels fell off and just everything fell apart, and it was bound to happen. But Devin Haney does what I would call a four corners offense. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's a term from basketball, like old school college basketball, where it's a stall tactic. You do as little as possible, and you try to nullify your opponent's offense by just moving the ball around, and you only shoot every now and then, and you try to just slow the game down and take the offense out of the game. That's what Devin Haney does, right? And there are a lot of American fighters that do that. And there's a part of the boxing community here in America, the American boxing establishment community, whatever term you want to use, that believes that's the superior form of boxing. Yeah, there are different styles, but the superior form, the absolute pinnacle of boxing, is that four corners offense. And that's why they award decisions to guys who fight in that style a lot of times, particularly in Vegas. But in other parts of the world, not necessarily so. And the thing is, in pro boxing is the hurt business. It's about who's doing damage. Now, Devin Haney, you see right here, he landed four times the amount of jabs of Ryan Garcia. So you could say he technically dominated in that category, but the jab did not dominate this fight. Now, you can dominate a fight with a jab. You can have a dominant career with a jab. Look at Vladimir Klitschko. Possibly the best jab in heavyweight history, certainly top five, right? He's up there with Larry Holmes as top jabbers in heavyweight history. And that jab led to a Hall of Fame career. So you can dominate off a jab. Don't get me wrong. We've seen plenty of fights where a guy dominates a fight strictly off a jab. But you can't dominate a fight when your opponent's doubling up on the power punches landed on you and he's dropping you five or six times. You're not dominating a fight, bro. You're jabbing and grabbing. You're jabbing and running. And that's all Devin Haney did for most of this fight. Now, again, Ryan Garcia didn't do a whole heck of a lot himself. But when he did do something, significantly more damage and impact to it. So for anyone out there who had Devin Haney win in this fight, I don't know, guys. I don't know. I would say that's a really, really bad take if you have Devin Haney winning this fight. Okay. Did I get everything I wanted to hit? Again, we'll talk more about this in detail on my podcast the next time we do it. But yeah, I think that, again, just to reiterate here, guys, neither fighter did a whole heck of a lot in this fight. Here are the key points. Neither guy did a whole heck of a lot, but one guy did a little bit more, and when he did do it, it had way more impact. And that's how you clearly have to give this fight to Ryan Garcia. Harvey Dock, one of the best referees in the business. I like Harvey Dock a lot. He had a bad night. I hope he cleans it up next time. This was a bad night for Harvey Dock. Brilliant managerial decision for Golden Boy and team Ryan Garcia to move the fight out of Las Vegas, where they would have absolutely been robbed tonight. They get the decision barely in New York, and that was a brilliant strategical move by them. Ryan Garcia, I personally believe, purposely came in heavy, didn't even try to make 140 pounds. I think it was a strategy to come in strong and to walk Haney down and use the power. And it worked. Devin Haney could have said, no, I'm not going through with the fight because you're heavy. He went through with the fight. He has to live with the consequences. So, and I haven't heard him make any excuses, but I just, he seemed very classy and humble in defeat. You got to give Haney credit on that. His dad is a lunatic, but Devin, the kid, he's a good kid. oh, I lost my train of thought. Jesus, I'm tired. what the hell is I going to say? Damn it. I hate when that happens. Gail, I saw Gail in the chat. There's Gail says, Ryan Garcia took a page out of Siri Salido's playbook. Salido did the same weight bullying against Lomachenko in 2014. Yes, ma'am. And it's also a page out of Floyd Mayweather's playbook. And Ryan's been talking to Floyd a lot. But Ryan, Floyd Mayweather did the same thing with Juan Manuel Marquez. In their fight, didn't even try to make weight, right? They were supposed to do a catch weight, came in, wanted to come in strong against Marquez. He just felt he needed to do that. And he was protected and they worked it all out. And yeah, so we've seen this play before. That's what I was going to talk about a minute ago. Sorry, guys, my brain is like fried. But the weight thing. Look, you got to keep the same energy. When Ryan Garcia fought Gervonta Davis, do I think the weight significantly impacted his performance? Yes. Apparently, the weight cut caused an injury. It led to an injury. Apparently, he came into that fight injured. Okay. All that is tangible and it's legitimate. Okay. However, you agreed to those terms. You got to live with it. Same energy here. Devin Haney, do I think that he was at a physical disadvantage tonight because he killed himself to make weight and Ryan Garcia didn't? Yes, I do. Do I think that impacted the fight? Yes, not as much as it impacted Ryan Garcia against Gervonta Davis, but yes, I do think it played a role tonight. I still think Ryan Garcia probably would have won this fight either way, but I do think it had an impact on the fight. I do. But you agreed to those terms. You were willing to take the $1.5 million that Garcia offered you and went through with the fight. So there's just no excuse there. It's up to fans and media and people to decide, like, are we cool with the weight game? I will say this. Devin Haney's a weight bully. He is. He's been a weight bully his entire career. He's not going to be able to get away with that as much at 140, especially at 147. The fighters are going to be bigger, stronger, way more explosive than him, and he's going to struggle against a lot of those guys, particularly if they're as tall and as long as him and even faster than him and like tonight. Against shorter guys and stuff, yeah, he's still going to be fine. But against guys that can have the same kind of range and height and all that, and they can crack, he's going to struggle. But he's been a weight bully his entire career. His whole run at 135, he was just a weight bully, right? Now, tonight, the weight bully got weight bullied. And for Ryan Garcia, who allowed himself to be bullied with the whole weight thing and all that against Gervonta Davis, he learned a lesson that there. And he kind of played the same game in certain ways on Devin Haney. So there is, you know, some sneaky genius behind Ryan Garcia's craziness coming into this fight. And it certainly paid off. All right, let's see here. I just saw another super chat. Where would it go? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? There it is. Let's see. Moss Bergs with the super chat. Thank you so much. He said, what a wild outcome. The whole card was a bit of a letdown. Beck the Bully fight was okay, but the main event delivered on a level we aren't used to seeing. It's a great point, man. I think a lot of people, myself included, again, I picked Devin Haney to win by decision, and I thought this would be a fairly dull fight just because of their styles. I didn't see the guy throwing a lot. They both want to counter. They counter in different ways. Ryan Garcia counters trying to hurt you. Devin kind of counters and runs away. And I just thought, man, there's not going to be a lot of offense in this fight. I was correct about that, but there was a lot of drama, high drama, and that's what you want to see, right? But yeah, the undercard was trash, man. This was a bad undercard. let's see here. S. Gonzalez says, I hear Bill saying the weight made a difference. Well, if that's the case, then Haney has been weighing 10 to 15 pounds heavier than his opponents for quite a while. Spot on, bro. Spot on. Look, Bill Haney's a lunatic, and he's going to defend his son and whatever, okay? He's a blowhard. But you're going to hear him say stuff about the weight. And the truth is, Devin Haney has weighed 30 pounds more than some of his opponents. I mean, he's a big kid that, again, does whatever he has to do to make weight. I'll just leave it at that. But he has a significant weight advantage over most of his opponents. And he's been in that sense, and he's not the only one. I'm not trying to suggest that. Pretty much everyone does it now, particularly American fighters. They game the system to come in heavy and have a natural advantage over an opponent. And tonight, he had to fight a guy that was heavier than him for once. And you saw what happened. This is a great comment here from John Adrian Tan. He's true. He said 5'5 Pacquiao fought a 70 pounds heavier 5'11 Margarito and broke his orbital bone. Yeah, I don't know if Margarito was 70 pounds heavier, but he was significantly bigger than Pacquiao, obviously. And Pacquiao did bust him up pretty good. But man, he was a special fighter. Special fighter. Devin Haney, good fighter, not a great fighter. Differences. Goat says Haney came in at 165 when he fought Regis Progray. Yeah, I believe it. I mean, the kid walks around at nearly 200 pounds in between fights. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. He's that big. And against, I mentioned this earlier, Regis Progray is kind of a short guy, and he's not a big 140 fighter. So Haney could use the height and the length and everything like that and the extra weight to his advantage in a fight like that. But against Ryan Garcia, he wasn't punching down at Ryan. He couldn't grab him and pull him down and do the same kind of tactics with a guy like Garcia, because Garcia is pretty much the same size, same length, same height, all of that. And as I mentioned several times before, he's the faster fighter, more explosive, more athletic. So all that kind of just came to backfire tonight for Devin Haney, man. Aaron Gortman says, I wouldn't be surprised if Frank Martin beats Gervonta Davis. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Hey, you know, that's why they fight the fights. That would be something. That'd be huge, but I don't see that happening. That team doesn't take a fight unless they know they're going to win. All right, let's see. Hamed said, Ryan Garcia has missed weight 3 times. That's crazy. Yeah. Again, look, Ryan Garcia is flawed. First of all, he's not a great fighter. He's a good fighter. Not great, but he's good. He is willing to fight the best. We've seen that. Him fighting Tank and then fighting Haney. None of the other young guys have fought 2 top dudes like that. The only one that I'd put up there is Teofimo Lopez. You know, he fought 2 guys, but he actually, looking at it now, he was very strategic when he fought those guys. And there was a little bit of positioning to it. I'm not trying to take any shine away from Tio, but I don't know if he beat the best versions of Lomachenko, the best versions of Josh Taylor. You know what I'm saying? But Ryan Garcia, man, to be willing to fight Tank Davis, and he made 1,000, you know, concessions for that fight, and then fighting Devin Haney, like, that's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's proven he wants to fight the top guys, and he brings a lot of drama, a lot of heat, you know, with the media stuff, the social media stuff, and that's going to continue. So say what you will. I mean, he's a huge brand in this sport. He's a huge brand. I'm really curious to see what kind of numbers this fight does. They sold out the crowd there in Barclays, which, you know, of course, we knew that would happen. There's always the walk up. They discount the prices. They got people in there. I'm not surprised at that. But I'm curious what the pay-per-view did, because Ryan Garcia, again, extremely popular, but Devin Haney, not. And I wonder if a lot of people just kind of tune this one out because they're like, man, Ryan's lost his mind. He's going to lose a boring decision to this guy. I ain't even interested in watching this crap. I wonder. Or maybe people are like, yo, man, this is a freak show. I got to watch this. I know a lot of people believe Ryan Garcia could win. It's interesting that, you know, there's a lot of people that are like shocked that Ryan Garcia won. What a shocker. Is this really shocking? Is this really shocking? Did people have Devin Haney that high up? Devin Haney is a good fighter. But again, if you look at what he does and the guys he does it against, he's been fighting much smaller guys his entire career. And again, I picked Devin Haney to win this fight by points, but I'm not at all surprised that Ryan Garcia won. I'm not at all surprised that Ryan Garcia dropped him 5 or 6 times. Ryan should have closed the show. He should have finished him off. Devin Haney was ready to go at a couple points in this fight, and Ryan just, you know, he just did enough, which I get it. I get it. He got the W, but anyway, I'll say, okay, one last point, then I'll go. Young fighters have to fight each other. All right, Teofimo Lopez, Gervonta Davis, Shakur Stevenson, Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, and there are others, but those are like the Fab Five, right? They all need to fight each other. If this was the 80s, if this was the 90s, these guys would all be fighting each other, and they'd win some and they'd lose some. And, you know, the triangle theory bros would be out there like, wait a second. Tank beat Garcia and Garcia beat Haney. That means Tank is the greatest fighter in the history of boxing. Yeah, right? They just do this math in their head. Look, if these guys all fight each other, they're all going to lose. Go back to the Four Kings back in the day, right? They all lost fights. Leonard, Hagler, Hearns, Duran. These guys all fought each other and they went back and forth. They all lost fights in their careers. It's okay to lose. It's okay. It's what you do after you lose. how you come back. That's the part that matters. So the fact that Devin Haney lost and the fact that Ryan Garcia lost against Tank, who gives a shit? These guys all need to fight each other. And that's why I'm so critical of Tank, because he just doesn't seem willing to want to get in there and fight these young guys on even terms. Does anyone think that he would have moved up to 140 and fought Devin Haney tonight? Like, come on. That's the kind of fight he's been avoiding. And I just want to see him get in there and mix it up. I know Shakur Stevenson wants to. I'd love to see Gervonta Davis and Shakur Stevenson. I'd love to see that fight. Will we see it? No, we're not going to see it. And that's what's hurting American boxing. But tonight, two young guys got in the ring and they did their thing, and it was exciting. There was drama. It wasn't the greatest fight ever. There wasn't a whole lot of offense, but there was a lot of dramatic moments. And this was good for American boxing. So I'll leave it on that, guys. We'll do a podcast soon and we'll talk about all this in detail as more information comes out. But for now, I'm going to try to get back to bed because I'll probably be up in a few hours feeding the baby again. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your night or day, wherever you're watching from around the world. And we'll talk again soon. See you at the fights.